I'll call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 9:05 a.m. on Wednesday, February 11th, 2026. Present today are Representative Stapp, Representative Moore, Representative Bynum, Representative Hannon, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Galvin, Representative Jimmy, Co-Chair Foster, Co-Chair Shragi, and myself, Co-Chair Josephson. Also present today are House Finance Committee staff, Committee Assistant Helen Phillips, Paige Tallulah-Lastufka, Secretary Bree Wiley, Secretary Leah Frazier. We also have Moderator Emily Mesh from the Legislative Information Office. Before we start, please mute your cell phones. At this meeting, the committee will be introducing and adopting committee substitutes for House Bill 263 and House Bill 265, the FY27 operating and the mental health budgets. In committee members' packets are the following: HB 263 work draft version G, HB 263 redline comparison between governor and version G, HB 263 summary of changes, HB 265 work draft version 1, so that's the mental health budget, HB 265 redline comparison between governor and version 1, agency summary totals, all funds, agency summary totals, UGF only. The Legislative Finance Division is in the room for any technical questions during this meeting. So with that, do I have a motion on the first committee substitute for HB 263 version G?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move that the House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 263 Finance Work Draft 34-GH2498/G as in Gulf. Marks, dated February 6, 2026, is our working document.
Okay. I'm going to object for the purposes of an explanation and call my staff, Mr. Schroeder, forward to explain the changes in version G. Mr. Schroeder, please come to the table, put yourself on the record, and tell us about this proposed operating budget version.
Good morning, members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Alexander Schroeder, staff to Co-Chair Josephson. Through the chair, before the committee is proposed committee substitute for House Bill 263, the operating bill, work draft 34-GH2498/G, also called House Committee Substitute 1 or HCS-1. Also included in the members' packets is a redline comparison between the governor's December 11, 2025 operating bill and HCS-1. For the purposes of this walkthrough today, I will refer to this the page and line numbers in the red line comparison, not the work draft. I want to begin by identifying three broad changes to the bill. The first broad change is to address technical and conforming changes. If the committee permits, I ask to refrain from getting into details about what those technical and conforming changes are. In summary, the administration has different drafting requirements than the legislature, so we translate the operating bill to meet legislative legal's requirements. The second broad change is that all supplemental items have been removed. There are currently two supplemental bills, HB 283 and HB 289, under the committee's consideration. The co-chair's position is that at this time, those bills and their items should be considered separately from the operating bill. So, fair warning, I do not plan to walk through the supplemental items removed from this bill. The third broad change is reverting to an adjusted base budget in accordance with Legislative Finance Division's definition, with one exception to be explained in a moment. The adjusted base definition is, quote, the prior year's budget less one-time appropriations plus current statewide policy decisions, such as salary adjustments and formula changes, needed to maintain services at a status quo level. Formula items funded at a partial amount, meaning deviations from statutory formulas in the previous fiscal year's budget, are carried forward in this committee substitute. Those items will be explained when I get to the language section. It's worth noting that the Legislative Finance Division does not apply the adjusted base concept to certain aspects of the bill and uses the governor's submission for those items. Some examples include wordage in the numbers section, such as conditional language, FY26 language sections with no fiscal impact added or removed by the governor in his proposed budget. This would include a section such as implementing bonuses for state employees authorized by letters of agreement, and miscalculations by the governor in formula-driven appropriations, which I have an example if anybody has any questions on that. If an item falls outside the definition of adjusted base, it is unchanged from the governor's version in this committee substitute. So that concludes the broad changes between the governor's proposed budget and the work draft before you. Ultimately, this work draft is meant to be a starting point while we work through the finance subcommittee process and House finance amendment process. So unless there are any questions, I will now move on to specific items.
So we're dealing with the operating budget, and I noted in the mental health budget, which we'll take up whenever we do prior to 10 a.m. when we go to the floor or to caucus, I called it version one, it's version I, just so that's there's clarity on that. But back to House Bill 263. Any questions yet on anything? Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Joson, through the chair to Mr. Schroeder. Thank you for being here. I'm just going to make the assumption, you just tell me it's correct. There's a lot of kind of numerical changes here, just to give you an example, that are not listed out in this changes summary that you're about to go through. Page 6, for example, AGDC's budget number is substantially less. I'm just curious if that's just your adjusted base change uniform that you explain through the chair.
Mr. Schroeder.
Through the chair, Representative Stapp, you're correct. The any of the number section changes you could find in the transaction compare in those totals, we didn't include them in our walkthrough today or the summary of changes simply because it's just the reverse of the transaction compare between adjusted base and government.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Please continue, Mr. Schroeder.
So here are the specific changes in this committee substitute. In the numbers section, please turn, and this is the red line comparison. In the numbers section, please turn to page 4, line 19, and this is lines 19 through 33. We have flagged it in the committee members' packets red line document. Here you will see the Department of Agriculture was removed. On page 32, line 25, to page 33, line 4, you'll be able to see it was restored as the Division of Agriculture under the Department of Natural Resources. Again, that's page 32, line 25, to page 33, line 4. Technically, this is consistent with LFD's definition of adjusted base, and it is also consistent with the Superior Court ruling that, quote, the governor transmit a proposed executive order to the legislature only during regular session, end quote. This meaning that the Executive Order 137 was unlawful and the creation of a Department of Agriculture void. The second structure difference in the numbers section is found on page 77, lines 1 through 19. I'll flip there myself. Where you will see the Alaska Marine Highway System reflected as Section 4 in numbers, which is consistent with how the legislature passed the FY26 budget. And similarly, you'll see this removed from the language section. So this is adding AMHS back to the numbers section. The remaining changes in the numbers section are only reflected as differences in the appropriation totals. All transactions the governor proposed, the ones before the finance subcommittees were removed. You can view those transactions in full in the transaction comparisons between the adjusted base and the governor's proposed budget on the Legislative Finance Division website. That concludes the changes in the numbers section. So moving on to the language section, I mentioned earlier there is one exception to the adjusted base made in this committee substitute. So please turn to page 81. That is also flagged in the member's red line document. So looking at section 11, subsection C, this is specifically page 81, line 27, to page 82, line 1. Here the committee substitute modifies the earnings reserve account deposit. Instead of splitting the transfer from the earnings reserve account between the general fund and the dividend fund, the co-chair believes that depositing all the funds to the general fund first is a better starting position for the work of this committee. This structure mirrors the same structure in last year's enrolled operating bill and every operating bill since FY19 when the percent of market value draw began. Yes, It does not yet appropriate a portion of the general fund to the payment of a permanent fund dividend. That appropriation will be revisited in the budget amendment process in this committee and on the House floor.
Questions? We're still, there are other opportunities, of course, to ask questions. Representative Stapp.
I can wait to the end, Co-Chair.
Okay.
Depending on how you want to do it.
So. Okay. Please continue, Mr. Schroeder.
The remaining language section items before, through the chair, the remaining language section items before us are all adjusted-based changes. So please turn to page 82, and this is specifically lines 5 through 8. Here you see that it removes the inflation-proofing appropriation to the Alaska Permanent Fund. The next change is on page 88, lines 6 through 14. Here you see it removes the state's Employment Assistance Training Program, or STEP, estimated appropriations from the language section. A corresponding increase maintains funding in the numbers section for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. LFD notes that this language was new this fiscal year. It is conceptually similar to the Alaska Technical and Vocational Education Program, or TVEP, language in Section 9, which was moved from numbers to language in FY24 and FY26. The next change is on page 89, line 15 through 18. Here you see it removes the Department of Revenue section on externally managed investment profit sharing fees. The department reports that they have new profit sharing agreements with public entities' investment managers, and only if those external managers outperform market benchmarks would these fees be paid. The next change is on the same page, line 19 through page 90, page 89, line 19 through page 90, line 1. Here you see it removes language, moving the Alaska Marine Highway System from a calendar year to a multi-year appropriation spanning two fiscal years. The change was requested in FY26 and denied by the legislature. It was requested again in the governor's FY26 supplemental. Effectively, it would allow the department to move any surplus in the current fiscal year forward and future year funding to fill current budget holes. The next change is on page 94, line 4 through 7. Here you see it removes the appropriation of arbitrage rebate related to investment earnings in the Alaska International Airport System Reserve Fund. Investment earnings in this fund have exceeded allowable arbitrage yields, so this item would allow the earnings to maintain the bond's tax advantage status. The next subsection is on the same page, lines 8 through 12. Here you see it removes the backstop to the previous section if the estimate is sufficient to cover arbitrage rebate. The next change is on the same page, starts on the same page, line 94, page 94, line 26 to page 95, line 1. Here you see it reduces the school bond debt reimbursement to 75% of statutory requirement, which is the same as FY26. The next change is on page 96, lines 5 through 6. Here you see it reduces the appropriation to the Disaster Relief Fund to $13,044,800 UGF, which is matching the FY26 enacted policy and keeping in line with LFD's definition for adjusted base language items. Please note that lines 9, 7, and 8 on this page removes the $40 million supplemental appropriation to the Disaster Relief Fund because, as noted earlier, all supplemental items were removed from this committee substitute. So staying on the same page, the next change is line 30 to page 97, line 1. Here you see it reduces the regional educational attendance area and small municipal school fund deposit to 75% of statutory requirement, again matching the FY26 policy. For context, last year the legislature funded school aid for cost of school construction at 75%. The governor vetoed the REAA deposit down to 75% to match the school bond debt reimbursement. So here we're returning to that. The next change is on page 98, lines 17 through 21. maintains FY26 policy for the Community Assistance Fund deposit by adding $5,978,000 in UGF, which would result in a $20 million disbursement in FY27, the same as FY26. The next FY27 adjusted base change is on page 101, lines 6 through 13. Here it adds $37,945,000 in UGF to meet the Alaska Retirement and Management Board's actuarial recommendations for state retirement contributions. For context, the governor did not fund the ARM Board's FY27 contribution rate, instead choosing a different rate which pays less upfront but more in future years. And the last change is on page 104, line 30, to page 105, line 13. Here it removes the constitutional budget reserve draw to cover appropriations made in the FY27 budget. So that concludes the adjusted base language section changes. Overall, the net reduction from the governor's bill to House Committee Substitute 1 in non-duplicated fund sources for the FY27 operating and statewide items is the following. $2,358,386,400 in unrestricted general fund, $11,170,600 in designated general fund, $7,772,100 in other state funds, and $31,328,200 in federal receipts. If you include the appropriations in the governor's proposed capital budget, the surplus of unrestricted general fund in the operating operating budget is $819.5 million. That concludes the differences between the governor's December 11, 2025 operating bill and House Bill 263 version G. Happy to try to answer any other questions.
Okay. Representative Bynum.
Thank you, Co-Chair Justice, and through the chair. Really quick, I don't need too in-depth of explanation, but just hoping for a little bit of oversight for two items. The first item was page 82, 5 through 8. This is the inflation proofing, removing that from the budget. And then item on page 89, 19 through page 90, which is line 1, and that's the Marine Highway moving the multi-year out and putting it into the number.
Is there
just a brief explanation on the rationale?
All right. Mr. Schroeder.
Through the chair, Representative Bynum. The reason those two items were removed was simply because in LFD's adjusted base definition, those would revert back to the previous year's version. The Alaska Marine Highway System, for example, was in the number section last year. The legislature denied it changing to the language section, so this committee substitute puts it back into the number section. On the inflation proofing, there was no inflation proofing in last year's budget, so that's why it's been removed in this committee substitute. If you need further explanation, I'd be happy to call Mr. Painter up.
And I think it's important, and I know folks know this, but online as well, that this is designed to give us a starting point, a launching off place with some consistent basis. And so this is not what the budget will look like when we adjourn in May. It just can't be for a variety of reasons, including the other body and members' wishes of the entire House body, et cetera. Representative Stapp.
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Justin, through the chair to Mr. Schroeder. So I'm going to try to basically translate what this document is doing very plainly. Basically, we went from a budget deficit to a budget surplus because you deleted the permanent fund dividend from the budget. Even though the language is in there, there's no fund source for it, so that's why we have surplus. And we are dramatically underchanging our known expenditures for disaster relief, specifically referencing Typhoon Haylong. So that's how I would articulate the document. I agree with Co-Chair, it's certainly a starting point, but just so the public understands, how we are getting to a surplus is there is no appropriation for any PFD in this budget currently. Thank you.
Representative and Co-Chair Schrage.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson, picking up on, I guess, kind of both the previous speakers. This is procedurally an adjustment back to where we started last year, essentially. And I take the prior speaker's comments earnestly that I appreciate that he points out the fact that we are moving to a surplus in this adjusted base budget, but I would note that, frankly, in my view, it's too early to talk about whether we're at a surplus or a deficit. To my co-chair's point, this is just a very early starting point, procedurally stripping out changes that occurred from what we passed in last year's budget to get us to something that we can rebuild off of this year. The prior speaker talked about disaster funding. I think I likely speak for at least the majority in this room, if not everyone that's here at this table, that disaster funding is a priority of this legislature and addressing some of the costs that we're experiencing out in Western Alaska. We have to do that. Those are expenses that that are being incurred and that we will have to pay. I think what we'll see in the supplemental very soon is that this legislature is taking those disaster challenges very seriously and that we will be working to appropriate funds to fully meet that need. But again, for the public that's watching, this is really a procedural step to revert back and unwind some of the changes that occurred through the budgetary process and through the governor's vetoes over the interim, and this will just be a starting place for this committee to begin our work, at which point I think through that subcommittee process, through the amendment process, we'll start to get a clearer picture as to whether or not we'll have a surplus, a deficit, what the appropriation may be for the dividend, what level of disaster funding will be in there, retirement, et cetera. There's many, many, many policy choices before this committee and before the body, and we'll have to work through those, and I look forward to doing so, and I appreciate my co-chair for getting us to a place, a good place for us to start our work, and frankly, one that follows years and years, years and years and years of precedent. This is simply following the template that's been laid out in years past for us to start our work. So I just want the public to be very clear. This is a procedural step for us to begin our work and have an unwound budget that we can work with. Thank you.
And I think I would add, as a show of good faith from certainly the majority's position, today on the floor in about an hour, we're going to be adopting the governor's, I hope we adopt, the other body did, I think unanimously, financing plan for disaster relief. So the governor said, I need X urgently, and we're saying, we want to give that to you. In addition, our supplemental budget reflects that same urgency. So this is, again, just a starting point. So I'm going to go to Representative Tomaszewski and then Co-Chair Foster.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson, through the chair. So just in regards to the CBR section, it's completely removed. So no CBR vote. Is that your intention?
Mr. Schroeder.
Through the chair, Representative Tomaszewski, that's correct. There's no CBR section. It's been completely removed at this time.
Follow-up, Representative Tomaszewski.
It almost feels like some deja vu. Because I think we went through the same motion last year. We removed it, and then to only to have to try to put it back in. So I'm just curious as why, what's the purpose of that?
Well, it was removed because it in this version internally it doesn't have a purpose because it's a surplus budget.
Brief at ease?
Yes. Brief at ease. Representative Tomaszewski, I'm reminded that secondarily, I think my first comment is accurate, but secondarily, the adjusted base didn't have a CBR vote. So we're trying to stay true to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Co-Chair Foster.
Thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. Always appreciate Representative Staff's simplicity. I like getting to the point. I guess I would just give my version of how I see this rollout of this bill. I didn't think the purpose of this introduction of this operating budget was to show that we had a surplus. I'm certainly not out there. Everybody knows that the PFD is not in this. That's the biggest elephant in the room, and I think we all need to talk about that, and it's going to be an ongoing conversation. What I did want to say is that when I think of adjusted base, I think, you know, last year we put in some things in the budget that were one-time items for, and I'm just going to make something up. Let's say that we put in $1 billion for, you know, a road to Nome or something. And but that was just meant to be a one-time thing. And so we wouldn't want to just automatically put that in this year's budget. So we're taking that out, and that's what adjusted base is. With regard to the PFD, again, I think it's the elephant in the room. It's the item that we're all going to need to try to work through. I think we all are also recognizing that we have the spring forecast that we're waiting for, the oil prices, to see where we land in terms of what revenues we're going to have. So I think that's important. And then also with regard to disaster relief, I don't think there's anyone out there that's saying that we shouldn't fund disaster relief. I fully expect that we're going to be doing something along the way here. And so, you know, they certainly affects my district as well and my neighbor's district. And so, you know, I don't see that we're going to have any issues. Nobody's, you know, I think everyone's very sensitive to the fact that we need to, you know, support our neighbors. So with that, I just wanted to kind of paint my picture and my vision of what this budget was doing. Thanks.
Okay. Any other, is your mic up? Rep. Hannett, any other comments about version G, questions about version G? Representative Moore.
Thank you, Chair Josephson. I think that just for the record, my opinion about the CS would be that there's serious policy implications here. And with them being completely stripped out, I don't think this is normal. I think that removing the CBR kind of gives leverage to the PFD talk later, and I don't think that's something that we should be entertaining right now. But so, thank you.
I think the history, the recent history, is that removing the PFD at this stage is fairly typical. Co-Chair Shiragi?
Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair Josephson. Maybe just in response to some of the recent comments, I want to again remind folks that what we're really doing is taking out the one-time items and taking out the policy choices that we're going back to a place of adjusted base so that we can make the policy decisions at this table. What do we want this budget to look like? So really, it's an unwinding. I don't think it's a – I certainly speaking for myself, it's not from a place of leverage. This is a procedural step to unwind choices that have been made since our last budget passed so that we can then make new policy decisions as a body here at the finance table. And so just again, speaking for myself, if it was a policy choice, I likely would not be reducing the amount of funding for some of the items being reduced here. I mean, just as one example is the school bond debt reimbursement. I don't know that that's a policy choice that I would make, but I do know that following the process of prior legislatures to get us back to a place of adjusted base allows us to then go and make cleaner decisions here at the finance table. So the policy decisions are still in front of us. I understand how it may appear that we're making some of those policy choices now, but this is a very procedural step to unwind what's been done since our last budget passed so that we have a fresh place to start from and to move forward with. And again, I look forward to that process here at the table and to making those policy choices after a bunch of study and discussion here at the table. Thank you.
Okay. We were joined by Representative Allard some time ago. Happy birthday, by the way. Hopefully we'll hear more about that on the floor. I bet we will. All right. I don't see any other questions. I'm going to slowly remove, by talking slowly, my objection.
Object.
Okay. So we have a renewed objection to version G. Would you like to speak further to your objection?
I would. Thank you, Co-Chair.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Co-Chair. I appreciate the explanation from the members of the majority of the committee. I'll just say that if the argument is this is the norm and this is the adjusted base, you have made fundamental structures changes that do not reflect that. The number one is you are depositing the entirety of the draw from the dividend fund to the general fund. Okay, that is not the normative in the budget. The policy decision could have been to leave the dividend split for the POVM draw, but this is an intentional choice to put all of the funds that we typically appropriate for the permanent fund dividend into the general fund for future appropriation. And if the argument is we're just using last year's adjusted base, I would like to note that there is no change in the foundation formula in this budget. And if you're using last year's adjusted base, you would have done that as well. So I'm going to maintain my objection on this bill. Thanks for letting me put my comments on the record.
Sure. And I think, Mr. Schroeder, didn't the other body, the Senate, put the entire, in their draft version, probably April, didn't they put the entirety of the draw into the general fund?
For the record, Alexander Schroeder, through the chair, in the Senate version of the budget, they did appropriate the earnings reserve account deposit all to the general fund, and that was the version that was adopted in the final budget that the governor signed.
So consistent with an adjusted base budget?
To my understanding, that's correct.
Okay. Co-chair Foster.
Thank you, Co-chair Josephson. I believe between the years 2020 through 2024, I want to say 3 out of the 4 years the PFD was fully stripped out, just knowing that at the beginning of session we were never able to come to a consensus in terms of what that number was going to be, and knowing that there are going to have to be ongoing discussions, and so that was pulled out. So.
Okay. So we have a standing objection. Are there any other comments?
Brief at ease.
Back on record at 9:36 a.m. Wednesday, February 11th in House Finance. Seeing no further comments, Co-Chair Shragi, I'm going to turn to you for a motion.
Brief at ease.
All right, we have a standing motion. We don't need further motion, so we'll call the roll as to that motion.
Representative Tomaszewski.
No.
Representative Allard.
No.
Representative Bynum.
Pass.
Representative Galvin.
Yes.
Representative Hannon.
Yes.
Representative Jimmy.
Yes.
Representative Moore.
No.
Representative Stapp.
No.
Representative Bynum.
No.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Representative Shragi.
Yes.
Representative Josephson.
Yes.
6 yea, 5 nay.
All right. So by a vote of 6-5, CSHB 263 Finance Version G has been adopted as the working amendment, or working version of the operating budget. We're now going to turn to House Bill 265. I'm going to look to my budget coordinator, Mr. Schroeder, to describe. And for the record, we're setting aside, for the time being, obviously, House Bill 263.
Mr. Kocher, would you like a motion prior to going to an overview?
Sure.
Great.
Mr. Kocher Shragi.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move that House Finance Committee adopt committee substitute for House Bill 265 Finance, Work Draft 34-GH2502/I, marks February 6, 2026 as our working document.
Okay, I'll object for the purposes of an explanation from Mr. Schroeder.
For the record, Alexander Schroeder. Through the chair, before the committee is the proposed committee substitute for House Bill 265, the Mental Health Bill, Work Draft 34-GH2502/I. A red line comparing the governor's December 11, 2025 mental health bill and HB 265 version I is included in the members' packets. However, I will not be referring to it for this walkthrough. The changes in this committee substitute parody the operating bill committee substitute. This work draft contains technical and conforming changes, and it also reverts to an adjusted base budget in accordance with Legislative Finance Division's definition. Please note that the governor's December 11th mental health bill contained mental health capital items. This committee substitute does not change the governor's request, preserving those items and their funding per the December 11th mental health bill. That concludes the differences between the governor's December 11, 2025 mental health bill and HB 265 version I. I'm happy to try and answer any questions.
Questions for the budget coordinator on the mental health CS. Okay. I'm going to remove my objection to it. Is there a further objection? Seeing and hearing none, version I, as in Igloo, will be our working draft adopted unanimously for the mental health budget CS for House Bill number 265 Finance. I believe that concludes our business for today. We're obviously setting aside 265, so that's clear. Our next House Finance Committee meeting is scheduled for this afternoon at 1:30 p.m. At that meeting, we will hear two presentations from the Department of Health. The first will be its FY27 departmental budget overview. Then we will hear an update on House Resolution 1, Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program and Medicaid implementation. So with that, we are going to adjourn this meeting at 9:41. We're adjourned.